And welcome back to the End Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Leach, Jimmy King, and nothing but the whole truth, Isaiah Hall, Wolverines Wire. We're here live at Regents Field, 204 South Main Street. Come on down. Got a watch party coming on. We got the show going right now, and then the watch party after that. Going to party with Matt. He's got all kinds of party favors and specials going on.
Usually happy hour is from 3 to 7 daily, but we are extending it tonight with the Michigan basketball game. So come on down. We've got plenty of drink specials. You know our girl Katrina, our bar manager, should be here actually any minute. She is our resident mixologist, so any crazy cocktail concoction that you can think of, she can make for you. And then we've got a few of our own house cocktails. The Regent Special, the Cranberry Mule, some other ones that she's come up with. Yeah. So
he said Cranberry Mule.
Because you know what? I was just about to ask, how was her Moscow Mule? And you came up with the Cranberry.
The Cranberry Mule. So we had that. That was our holiday special.
Are you
saying
Cranberry or Cranberry?
Cranberry, because it was our holiday special, but it's just been.
It was me.
No, you heard it right.
I had to catch it.
So we've been rolling. We've been rolling with it since the holidays. It's been a big hit. Okay. Can't just all of a sudden change up the name. Nobody would know what it was anymore.
I'm just making sure.
The Cranberry Mule has been doing really well.
You can be
Mary
all year long. All year long. What do you mean?
Okay. I'm just making sure. I mean, don't get mad at me.
So the question for you, Matt, for J-Mo's sake, can you mix all of those drinks together into like a big bucket for him to drink during the game?
Oh, absolutely. That's
all
no
right.
problem.
Now you're all set, bro.
We'll have to call it the Wolverine and not a Boilermaker.
There you go.
Jimmy got jokes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Look it up.
Jokes. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So, wait, got a game tonight. Rutgers.
Yes.
Undefeated in the rack.
Yes.
That's what their gym's called.
They're going down tonight.
Undefeated in the rack, but also they have not beaten Michigan.
That's
since
right.
joining the Big Ten.
That's
so
right.
that's
going
what
down tonight.
I wanted to ask Jimmy, so if you're a player going into a game like this where, hey, Rutgers is a pretty good team. You have to understand, you look at those big guys, Shaq Thompson.
Right.
That's a big boy. And, again, Geo Baker, they've got some Ron Harper Jr. Mm-hmm. They've got some talented guards, so that's a good team. But you also know, man, these guys haven't beaten us since they joined our conference.
Right, and we already beat them once this year. And a neutral site, which is really their home
their
site.
House.
But
whose house?
Their house.
Their
Run's
house.
You didn't beat
house.
It in their house.
That's what I was about to say. I was about to go Run's house.
That's what I thought I was going to hear, but nobody said that. Okay.
I did. But I think, you know, all they got to do is follow the same blueprint that they did early. Now, there's going to be some adjustments, obviously. But we played so well that game, I think we just, you know, make the Rutgers do something or throw some wrinkles in there that we may have to adjust to, and we make those adjustments and we come out of there with the same victory. I'm not scared of this team. Michigan obviously shouldn't be scared of this team, and I think that, like you said, when you go into situations where teams have not beat you, it's almost like it's really the same as almost going into a game where you haven't beaten the team at all. So the fervor and the fire that we anticipate the Rutgers are going to have coming out, Michigan is going to have the same. I anticipate the same type of fire.
Not to mention,
in order to keep that streak alive.
It's great for a guy like Eli Brooks, who's been on a roll. He says he likes road games more. Because he likes the fact that they cheer for him when he misses.
Right.
He says that for him, that's better than at Chrysler when they cheer for him when it makes it. Because it makes him that much more aggressive towards making sure that that shot goes. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a big game from some of those guys that are able to go in and really take advantage of Rutgers. We're starting to see them play a little bit better on the road. Now we know the Big Ten, it's been the home team. Rutgers hasn't lost at home. But right now, it's like I don't see a reason unless Michigan just comes out flat.
Right.
I know they came out flat to start against Rutgers the first time around. But I don't see a reason why they shouldn't win this game unless they just can't hit from anywhere on the floor.
I agree with that. I agree with that totally. I think that if we're moving the ball and hitting down shots or making shots like we were last game, I don't have any worries about going into the Rutgers.
But this, when you look at this, we were talking about this. We beat them at Madison Square Garden, large gymnasium. It's laid back. You go into the rack, it's tight in that rack. This is their home domicile. This is where they come.
If you could play at the Mecca,
right?
If you could play at Madison Square Garden and do that, you could walk into the rack and do it.
You can go anywhere.
Which perceivably has more pressure, the rack or Madison Square Garden?
But your fans are a lot closer, a little tighter.
I mean, everything's
measured.
But psychologically, and we know how it is, it's sports psychology. Psychologically, right. They already beat them. Same state, basically a home game for them. Mm-hmm. They're really walking in like, okay, we've done this already. This is just part two. This is just the second half of that, really. We just got to continue doing the same thing that we did that game. No issues, no problems, no worries.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
We got to spread the floor. We got to spread the floor, and we got to move the ball and make shots. And I think our biggest offense that I'm seeing now is when we have our misdirection going one way, where it's going off the double screen, Xavier coming to the right or to the left, and then we get the baseline and wing screen on the opposite for our guards coming up top. And with the option of dumping it down in the middle is our best plays against the Rutgers tonight.
Okay. I got to ask those questions because it'll be interesting how Rutgers comes out to play.
They got some surprises up their sleeves, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when we make those adjustments, and I think, you know, we'll be fine. It may cause us to get down or, to be losing in a game in a period of the game, or the Rutgers may go on the streak. But I'm confident that our guys will figure it out and get
one thing. I'm hoping that doesn't happen is a slow start. I'm hoping they hit their shots, and, you know, they can't go 0-for-11 like they did in Illinois. Evanston, Illinois, Northwestern. I mean, you do that. Mm-hmm. This is a team you don't want to be down by.
How many points we win that game by?
Doesn't matter. What am I saying? I said slow start. I think against a team that plays
Rutgers is a lot better of a team than Northwestern. There's no doubt.
Exactly.
So it's obviously never a good thing to get off to a slow start, but I think even this team has shown the past few games that even with getting off to a slow start that we can battle through it and we can win. So I agree with you, Jamie. Once we start playing the better teams amongst the Big Ten, and once you get into tournament play, that's where that really, really kills you. But again, we've gotten off to slow starts and still been able to fight through it and then not only win these games, but win them still handily.
You know what to me is a really positive sign? It's in that last game, the one the other day, why am I blanking on it? I keep on thinking Maryland, but it's Archie Miller in Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana.
Also a mobster-looking head coach. but Michigan didn't do – well, actually, real quick digression. I said that he looked like a low-level mobster to one of the other photographers. And one of the other photographers said to me, and this is so perfect, Archie Miller looks like a mobster who absolutely would snitch. And it's like, yep. He's like the worst of both worlds.
Oh, my God.
But Michigan didn't have that typical scoring drought that we've seen them have. Going back even to well within the John Beilein era, they didn't have that big 3-4-5 minute stretch where they weren't scoring. They kept the pedal to the metal.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the first time all season, to my recollection, aside from maybe against like Presbyterian or UMass Lowell. I can't remember if they had any stretches there where they went without scoring, but I can't remember them going up against a decent team like they did against Indiana and consistently find ways to score, consistently find basket. And it was a credit to their ball movement, because that was one of the things that Juwan said after the game. It's like they weren't, you know, they would get a guy that was open with a good shot, and then he'd pass it to someone else for a great shot.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding patience, and they're finding resolve in the sense of they know that if they're unselfish, they'll all get theirs.
Correct.
And that has been that's something that we used to see under John Beilein, and now you're starting to see it under Juwan Howard. I think that has got to come into play as long as the shots fall, as long as they don't have that situation like we've seen in some of these games where the shot goes halfway down and then bounces out.
Yeah, and that's my concern. Indiana, you're correct. Indiana, there was no missing of shots. Balls weren't clanging, and they were hitting their shots, going back and forth with Indiana for a while.
57% from the field.
Right. So
and that's if you look at it from a possession standpoint, right? You got two possessions per minute, 40 minutes a game. They score 80 points, mm-hmm. right? So they're scoring every other, at least 50% of the time. So that's very efficient. And anything above that is just a bonus. And now you're hitting on all cylinders. When now, if you're really hitting like that, you can draw up plays that you could get guys to overcommit, and you can start getting backdoor layups and stuff like that. So that's why you always want to be consistent in what you do. If you're knocking down those shots and you're flowing within your rhythm, don't change it up until you have to, or until the defense dictates that you do a second and third option. But the way that they were flowing the other night, if they stay consistent, or if they stay hitting on all cylinders that way, they'll be fine. They'll look just as good as they have been this past week.
Well, I was going to ask Jimmy, because again, it takes any player. We've had some players, John Teske, Xavier Simpson. These guys have been around for 4 years. Mm-hmm. They learned one system for three of those years, right. And now they're learning a new one.
Right.
To me, this Indiana game was the best game offensively that we played all season, mm-hmm. and I think it's finally those guys getting comfortable in mm-hmm. the system and their roles in the system with Isaiah playing, everything like that. To me, it looks like it finally clicked for a lot of those guys, where earlier in the year we were getting open looks but not hitting them. Mm-hmm. Now that the guys are they're confident, they know they're in the right spot, they know what their roles are, they know where they're supposed to be, I think that you're only going to see us continue to head upward from here. Am I crazy, or are you seeing the same things over there?
I agree, and that's, you know, I agree that the time that with Isaiah being out and everyone getting experience, particular Johns, DeJulius, getting more time, it's going to help the team. Now these guys have stepped up. It wasn't like the team was performing bad. We just, you know, we just didn't win the games. We were in the games. Won, lost by single digits, or teams pulled away late. So, and that's due to not having someone consistently that can get us buckets that we needed to. That Livers provides for us, and also with his presence being on the floor to keep defenses honest, mm-hmm. and to keep that floor spread, and also give Eli and Xavier and DeJulius those opportunities, and Franz those opportunities to hit those wide open looks and get to the basket and you know, for layups when need be. And so just that one factor of Livers is a huge dynamic for this particular team.
Does it work for Isaiah having 2 months to sit back and watch?
Yes.
Did it work for him?
Absolutely.
Because he's sitting there biting at the bit, but knowing he's got to get healthy, but he sat there and he got a chance to see it all.
You know what's best? What's the best thing for him in that scenario was sitting back and watching the offense and watching the guys learn mm-hmm. that offense, and then him also learning where they can get their shots and where he
right.
can get his shots. And that's what we're seeing. That's why you see him pulling up in transition. Xavier coming down, giving it to him on the wing. They're pulling up. Even though he shot an air ball late, mm-hmm. that's a rhythm shot. All he had, he just shot it too fast. All he had to do was set his feet, and that's a good bucket. I'll take that shot all day long.
So I got to say this. There's one thing, and they were showing practice one time, and Juwan, I think it was Eli Brooks. He did a teardrop.
Mm-hmm.
Juwan
mm-hmm.
stopped practicing. I don't like that shot. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. he's letting them do it even mm-hmm. more, because I see it in the game. Mm-hmm. And I say to myself, he don't like that shot. Mm-hmm. But he's letting them do
letting
it now.
Do
so
it.
He's giving it to them.
So the credit to Juwan. Early on, he want, obviously, just like all coaches,
mm-hmm.
you want the players to fit what
right.
you're doing.
Yep.
And I think a part of that was he was trying to get them to fit his system.
Right.
And now he knows That's not their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Eli likes to shoot it from this spot. Teske likes to get it here. Mm-hmm. Livers like to feel like this in the flow. Franz likes to get it in this rhythm.
Right.
Like, that's what he now has the book on. And going back to Juwan not being outworked and being a student of the game, I'm telling y'all, and I'm not saying this to hype him up, I'm just telling you what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time we get together 2-3 times a week, he has his books in his hands. And we're not, we may be going somewhere, and he still has his books in his mm-hmm. hand.
Okay.
So while we're out to dinner, his book is right next to him the whole time.
He needs to write
so I'm telling
down.
You, yeah. mm-hmm. like even when, and right, if he, something hits him, he writes it down. And then, like when we're talking, he might see something on TV. And then all of a sudden, like we'll just, you know, we'll get a pop or two, get us an appetizer. And then he's like, oh, I got to go. Then he's gone because he got like he has you know, he's working
right.
all the time. And that's why I'm confident in what, you know, moving forward and what these guys and what these kids are going to do performing in high-level environments like the Rutgers tonight.
Well, they're putting in the work, and right. Juwan's putting in the work.
Okay.
And, yes, he has shown that he's willing to put in the work that needs to be done.
No doubt.
He's willing to adapt.
Yeah.
He's willing to adapt, but also, man, he's 7 feet tall. He's never had to learn how to shoot a floater. He doesn't know what it's like for us little guys. When you're a 6 foot to
true,
a 6'3 guard,
Eli
Brooks
right.
is how tall? 6'2"?
Everybody in the NBA is not below Juwan Howard. There's guys that are taller than him, and they played. I'm sure he's thrown a teardrop or two up in the air. So
they ain't taller than him if he's wearing platform feet, shoes and stilts. FYI.
That too. Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But I'm saying is
that's
is
the
that
whole truth.
He's letting them do the things that they like to do too.
But that's again a credit to him because when Livers went out, we saw him look kind of stubborn initially by, you know, not having the doubles, you know, when it came to leaving Teske on an island. And after a couple games, he realized, like, I can't do that anymore.
A couple. He won 4 or 5 games.
Well, that's it took
a few.
But that's a credit to him for recognizing, like, you can sit there and say, this is our system. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going
to
do
but
it.
But he lived up to it, too. You're saying, you're right. He lived up to it. He kept saying, it's me. Mm-hmm. It's me.
And then he realized, like, you know what? This isn't going to work the way I thought. At least it's not coming along as fast as I want. The way I want. So I'm going to find a way to make it work otherwise. And the defense is up. It went from being the Achilles heel of Michigan to being in the top 25 in KenPom all of a sudden, seemingly almost overnight. I mean, in KenPom, they're now a top 25 team, both offensively and defensively, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that is a huge difference from where this team was because offensively they were hovering around, you know, 30 or so, and defensively they were down in like the 70s or something, and now they're all the way up. You know, they're up to 15 overall. They're 24 both offense and defense.
And that's coach, I think, adjusting his philosophy depending on the players, but also finding what strengths of his players utilize when he utilizes them, how it's the best product out on the court. Because again, Jamie and I were talking about it before with like Teske and Austin Davis. I think Teske's a better all-around center. He's a great defensive center. I think he had 4 blocks last game. He's not necessarily a pure post player. He's more the pick-and-pop, a shooter, which, like he was under Coach Beilein's system. But Austin Davis, man, he is a technician in the post. And I think Jamie would he was a post player in high school, and that's how he learned. You can't have the moves that he does, the touch that he does with both hands without being – but. In our offense, sometimes he might be the better guy in the post, and you've seen that the past few games. And again, it's not to take anything away from John Teske, but he does other things better. We tried to get him down in the post, and the only way you're going to learn how to be a post player is to go through that and go through the bumps and bruises that John Teske was going through earlier in the season. Again, coach realized that's not working. It's not going to be efficient if we want to win these games, so I've got to switch things up. And look at the incredible production Austin Davis has had the past few games.
Stallion, each play more magnificent than the last.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
You almost said that like I believed it.
And And Davis, like you're saying, Matt, is, you know, he is more comfortable with his back to the basket. You see him finishing with either hand.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I also see with Teske is the improvement of his footwork. Even though he's missing his shots, those shots, when they start to fall, is going to change a whole lot for this team.
Yeah.
Because he's not missing, like, he's not like this, you know, throwing air balls and bricking it and, you know, he's not running down hanging his head. He's still playing. He's still diving on the floor.
Right.
You know what
he's
I mean?
Like, those are the right.
Those shots ancillary are halfway things. Down.
Right. Those shots are halfway down. So when they start to fall and then he gets back in his comfort zone and he starts stepping out and hitting those shots again, he's going to be a problem. And that's why, like, going into the Big Ten right now, like you said, like, losing these games early, mm-hmm. They were looking at me. They were so pissed, but I knew because I was laughing. I was like, I can see what's going on. Y'all don't see it, and it sucks right now because you're losing.
It's not fun going through it.
And it's not fun.
Yeah.
But you're about to start having fun because you're about to see what all this is for and paying off for. So don't let this go by you. Remember this. And because y'all are working, y'all aren't, they're not really winning those games. Y'all are losing the games. And it's not even like y'all are losing it like in a bad fashion. These are actually, like, as a coach, I would never say this, but these are good. Those were good losses.
Oh, yeah.
Those were very good losses.
We were in every game, had a chance to win.
And so it's going to be interesting. And again, I think tonight, it's going to be a blowout tonight.
Whoa! Wait. So hold that thought. We need to go to a break. But we're live here. If you want to come see what Jimmy King is talking about, it's going to be a blowout tonight. And you want to come down here and watch that blowout. 204 South Main Street. Come on down.
And you're not talking about the blowout bar down the street either, are you?
What blowout bar?
It's like a hair thing.
Oh, my goodness. You are so old school right now.
It just opened. It's like right around the street.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to go to a break. We come back, all of us will still be here. You're listening to the M Zone.